We start with housing. A new student housing community could be coming to Chapel Hill soon. It's called The Flats, a high-density housing proposal that would replace aging homes along MLK Boulevard just north of Town Hall. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach has more on the proposal and the arguments both for and against.
Located between Isley Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, a proposed apartment complex could become the latest housing for UNC students. If approved by the town, the flats would comprise of approximately 200 units and 600 to 650 total beds. This area currently houses other student residential units, such as University Apartments, Lark Chapel Hill, Union Chapel Hill, as well as Adelaide Walters Apartments, an affordable housing community for seniors. The proposed project, as envisioned, would be 5 stories tall on the Isley Street side and 6 stories tall on the Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard side. Jeff Davis of J. Davis Architects said the terrain on the Isley Street side of the property led to some challenges in design of the complex.
The biggest challenge on this side is the topography. Just diagonally from the lowest northeast corner to the southwest corner, there's a 32-foot change in grade.
Davis said the project is set to include approximately a 450-space parking deck, which will be surrounded by residential units, a clubhouse, pool, courtyard, and a pedestrian path through the site.
All parking in the development is in the parking deck. There's no surface parking anywhere. So visitors and residents and future residents would all park in the deck.
Bruce Ballantyne is the founding principal for Ballantyne Associates, which is part of the Flats project. He said the project team is working to explore options to provide an affordable housing plan.
We've also started discussions with UNC to see if there is a way that it might be possible for this project to assist with certain students that are on assistance that might marry up with an affordable housing solution.
The Chapel Hill Town Council heard the concept plan for the flats at their meeting March 24th. Some concerns the council shared was the scale of the project and the potential disruption of the nearby neighborhoods. Council member Amy Ryan said she does not think the project as is meets the town's goals for environmental, economic, middle housing, or transit-oriented development.
It's just missing the mark on all those. We've talked about the idea of, you know, trying to grow our downtown out of its little constrained linear format right now. And there's a big opportunity cost for the town to let that valuable land go to student housing complexes.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger echoed Ryan's thoughts on how much student housing the town needs.
This would be one of the corridors we said we wanted on, but I'm in agreement that this project is just so large on this property and backs up to a neighborhood. But there's also a townhouse neighborhood on the other side and our affordable housing senior neighborhood on the other side. And I don't know if you've had conversations with them, but we need something that works with them.
If the project is set to continue, Heminger and the Chapel Hill Town Council said the project team has a lot more work left to uncover. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
Over to Carrboro, where crews have entered the third and final stage of a $3.4 million construction project at a roundabout at the intersection of Estes Drive and Greensboro Street. Traffic has shifted at the intersection to allow crews to paint striping, resurface the road, and build the center island. Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle spoke last week with our own Brighton McConnell about what you can expect if you're traveling that way.
Yeah, we're still a little ways from it being done, but I'll tell you, I think it's 75% to 80% done, and certainly the yeoman's work is done, and I think the terrible work is done. You know, the one that was the work that was so loud and causing problems for the people who lived right around there, and dealing with a lot of the infrastructure underneath the roundabout. But if anyone hasn't been through that intersection yet since last week, do so, because now you can actually visualize the way it's going to look. There's still a lot of, you know, like the sidewalks and the greenway and the markings and so forth still need to be all put in place, and it's still a little patchy, but it's really exciting, Brighton, to finally, you know, see another area where we can see a light at the end of the tunnel.
That's Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle there. Get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. State-level news, Governor Roy Cooper on Friday officially pardoned Daryl Anthony Howard, who spent 2 decades in prison for 2 murders he didn't commit. Howard was released in 2016 after being exonerated by DNA evidence. Friday's pardon means he can now apply for up to $750,000 in state compensation for wrongful convictions. Meanwhile, in the state Senate, a budget committee last week signed off on a bill to formally appropriate more than $6 billion in federal COVID relief funds, plus an additional $3.4 billion in federal dollars for local governments. That still leaves more than $5 billion in federal funds that haven't been allocated. Governor Cooper is expected to propose a spending plan for that money soon. Finally, the COVID-19 pandemic is still very much ongoing, but things are gradually reopening nonetheless, including movie theaters, where ticket sales are picking back up again for new blockbusters like Godzilla vs. Kong last month. Carolina Connections' Elizabeth Wheelis has more from the theaters.
After 13 months, senior Evan Krell was able to see a movie again.
I can't remember if movie theaters were always that loud, or they specifically had the sound cranked up. So I was like, oh God, were they always like this?
He said if any movie was to bring him back to theaters, it had to be a monster success. And this one was.
We need Kong. The world needs him.
Krell is a massive Godzilla and King Kong fan. He owns every movie, he's seen them all multiple times, and he knows nearly everything about the monsters. He says, ironically, he was introduced to that world through the 1963 Godzilla vs. King Kong movie.
And that's just kind of where it started, and I've been a Godzilla fan since I guess I was 5 or 6, whenever I would have watched that movie for the first time.
Unlike Krell, senior Matthew Keith is new to the franchise. He says he was drawn in while watching the movie with his friends.
We were like cheering out loud when things happened, getting really excited when like a certain punch was landed, and feeling like it is a communal experience, because truly it is. And that's what can make a movie so special in theaters.
With new movies come new patrons. Emily Cass is the executive director of the Chelsea Theater in Chapel Hill. She says that she's excited to see audience returning to watch movies such as Minari and The Father.
People came out, they renewed their membership, you know, they kind of voted with their feet and said, we want to come back, we can't wait.
The Chelsea used the time during the pandemic to completely make over the theater.
We said, all right, this is our opportunity. We have a chance not just to, you know, replace the seats, but renovate the Chelsea to make it a really special place to watch films.
Krell says he can't wait to get back into theaters, and he hopes others do too.
If any movie was going to bring people back, it was going to be something like this. We'll probably see like those records keep getting broken with every subsequent film.
In regards to Godzilla vs. Kong, Keith and Krell have differing opinions on which monster would win.
Oh, totally Team King Kong. Absolutely.
They've both been huge parts of my life, but I'm always going to be a bigger Godzilla fan than Kong fan.
In its first 4 weeks in theaters, Godzilla vs. Kong has made over $60 million, making it the largest movie opening since the pandemic began. In Chapel Hill, I'm Elizabeth Wheelis.
For Carolina Connection, a UNC student-produced radio newscast that airs Saturday mornings at 8:30 on 97.9 The Hill. Head to our website, chapelburger.com, for even more local news, including a call for artists to design and install a new mural on a building along East King Street in Hillsboro. 6:19, your time. Aaron Keck here with you this morning. Today is World Press Freedom Day, and in honor of that, Playmakers Repertory Company is streaming an encore presentation of Jacqueline Lawton's play Edges of Time, starring Playmakers' own Catherine Hunter Williams as journalist Marvel Cook. The stream is going to run all this week through Sunday, May 9th. You can get more info online at playmakersrep.org. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Wegmans. We begin with the NFL draft, where 5 Tar Heel football players heard their names called over the weekend, led by running back Javonte Williams. He went to Denver in the 2nd round. Fellow running back Michael Carter waited till the 4th round before he was picked by the New York Jets. Linebacker Chaz Surratt's dogs stole the show during the televised family celebration when Surratt went to the Minnesota Vikings in the 3rd round. And wide receivers De'Ami Brown and Daz Newsome also got drafted, Brown by Washington in the 3rd round, Newsome by the Chicago Bears in round 6. On the field, UNC field hockey beat Stanford 2-0 yesterday in the NCAA quarterfinals to advance to the Final Four for the 12th straight year. Carolina will host Iowa in the semifinal on Friday. UNC men's and women's soccer also got NCAA tournament wins over the weekend, both in the second round. The second-seeded women beat Denver 2-0 on Friday, while the men beat Charlotte on penalty kicks on Sunday. Both teams now in the round of 16, where the women will face Washington on Wednesday in Cary, and the men will face Stanford on Thursday, both for a spot in the quarterfinals. UNC women's lacrosse took their fifth straight ACC title on Sunday with a 9-4 win over Syracuse. Jamie Ortega leading the way with 3 goals, but this was a defensive battle. In fact, the lowest scoring ACC final in history. Fittingly, Tar Heel goalie Taylor Moreno was named the ACC tournament's MVP, second time in her career she's won that honor. And third-ranked UNC men's lacrosse also got a win yesterday, 15-12 over number 2 Duke, to clinch a share of the conference title. Over to track and field, where Tar Heel senior Jill Shippey broke her own ACC record to win the conference title in women's hammer throw. Fellow Tar Heel James Joycey also won the hammer throw event on the men's side, and senior Daniel MacArthur took first in discus. It was not as good a weekend for UNC baseball, though. They got swept by 6th-ranked Notre Dame in a 3-game set. Diamond Heels are back in action tomorrow at 6, looking to get back on the winning track when they host Campbell. And the Carolina Hurricanes got another win on Saturday, 2-1 in overtime over Columbus. Canes are back on the ice tonight, hosting Chicago at 7.